job over the weekend. I've seen videos of that KMJ and the Joy News team that cover the event did a good coverage. This is what we are talking about. We need a lot more of our acts to spread our talent across the world, make proper money. So this time he charged in pounds. So they should be playing in Europe, the US, everywhere, and bring money into the system. And we need to create the opportunity and the infrastructure also in place for them to thrive here. Like the National Theatre, we need to, the one that the president promised that they will build in Kumasi. We need to know whether they've secured land, whether they are building it, so that
Museum.
we can have bigger events in Kumasi, better
Agoto,
experiences.
that one too is
Oh, Minja Ikao,
Agoto,
agenda
Agoto,
70
Agoto,
years.
hold on, you see. I like it when we talk about the creative industry. But why are we not calling on Ghanaians,
Yes.
Ghanaian investors, to do some of these things? Because look, to be very honest with you, as for the states, the state Ghana, do you know the national, the secondary, this thing, national culture center?
Yes.
Is it
Center for
complete?
Natural Culture.
Is it completed?
No.
Okay. Look, I like it when individuals can say, okay, I want to do this. Give me land, okay? We'll go into partnership. Give me land, and I'll do this. And that's why I like it when our universities, for instance, they give out land to, developers. They build hostels. They go into an agreement, and that's it. Because if you wait for the government of Ghana, the government of Ghana.
But Teacher Kofi,
So,
individuals can do it, but in areas where the individuals are not doing it and have not done it, and the state sees an opportunity, we need to use our collective strength to do that. If you go to Sunyani, for example, the Izbet people have built a fantastic conference center, so they've opened up that space to a lot of events, a lot of value. Every now and again, you see the comedians organizing shows, you see plays being hosted at the. It's great, but Kumasi doesn't have anything like that. And it's a promise. Well, I'm not saying the state should not do it. I didn't promise it. The president promised it. The government put it in their manifesto that they were going to do it. And if you've promised people, you should deliver.
There's a chicken and egg situation when it comes to the creative industry, which must come first. Because it is the kind of industry that thrives when you stimulate it. When you do things to make it viable, then people jump on it. That's how it happens in every other part of the world. So something must start for something to continue. And yes, I agree that government shouldn't be getting into every business. But the one job of government is to create that enabling environment, right? So if a private person is going to invest, there should be all kinds of things to support him. There should be easy access to electricity. There should be roads. There should be all the things that will make his investment work, right? And those things have to come from government. And if they are not there, no private man is going to put his money into it. It's really that simple. So if government is not going to build the thing themselves, they must make it attractive, so that somebody will put his money in, and then the industry will grow from there.
Yeah, and Kofi, finally on this from my part, is it not sad that for a sovereign country like Ghana, your national theater was built for you by another country? And whenever you have to undertake major infrastructure upgrades, major maintenance, that country has to give you a grant to do it. China built it in 92. Our first major refurbishment, China gave us money. Second, they gave us money. Now we are still looking for money. Inti, of all the industries we have, the sectors we have, we can't grow Ghana and also make up. Look, Ghana should have been a country which is so developed that we also have our own version of USAID and supporting other
you know
countries
what,
across the world.
Agoto, we'll come back to this, eh? We'll come back to this. But this, let's think about it this way. What has Musica itself done? We'll talk more about that. Let's get into the papers.
Let's start with the publisher, Ghanaian publisher, Coker set sight on 2028. After decisive victory, that is the new Ashanti regional chairman of the New Patriotic Party. And why are Galamseyes operating with impunity? Anodompre asks Mahama. Upon Nkrumah sue CJ, AG of vacation trials, and the Bwakwa Traditional Council fumes at Achimansa DCE, apologize or face our wrath. Impetuous Zeta, talent to produce evidence of £8,160 payment. All of that on the front page of the Ghanaian Publisher.
If you go to the news center, agricultural growth slows to 3.6% in May. NPP's regional chairs pledge hard work, unity, party renewal, grassroots mobilization for victory in 2028. Six of the new the chairman are on the front page of the New Center. Some of them retained, some of them are very new. Okoboy beat his uncle boy. Mm-hmm. Boy beats boy for Greater Accra. And government to invest $10 billion into agro-processing. This is according to Mahama. National Home Ownership Fund proposes housing levy, and Prof. Amevenku elected 15th EP Church moderator. Mm. If you check the big health story also in the New Center, government invests 443 million Ghana cedis in free primary health care.
Mm. You know, I've been thinking every time I see a story about an investment in health care, I wonder where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what it's going to be used for, because there is still a lot of pressure on us, on our facilities. I was in Kolebu last week. You know, I've been having some kidney problems for some time. That's why I was off work last week. And I went to have my first dialysis session last week, Friday. So I went to Kolebu. Shouts to the team over there, doing a very good job at the cardio center. They have their own renal unit there. But as soon as I got there, I realized the problem of Ghana, right? Nine machines, two of them not working.
Oh.
Right? So immediately pressure on the system. And these guys work long hours. They start working from about 3 a.m. just so that they can get, because every person needs about 4 hours on the machine. Now, one in every 10 complaints in a hospital is a kidney complaint. So just think of the pressure, the number of people who require these machines.
I said nine, only two are working.
Two are not working. That's right. Now, they've found a room. They've done their best. They found a room. They've turned it into a ward. But the room is not big enough so that only the beds fit there.
Yeah.
The beds and the nurses, right? So you are there for 4 hours. You can't even have a loved one sitting next to you to keep you company, because the room is too small, right? It's you, your machine, and then the staff walking around and looking after you while you are getting your treatment. Okay, they do a very good job, by the way. I've got to give their professionalism, I mean, top notch. But they are working against horrible odds, and all of this is a resource problem. So you ask yourself, what are we prioritizing over things like this?
You know, last week, Winston had that conversation on the National Infrastructure reports and the grading for healthcare, according to the Ghana Institution of Engineering, very, very, very bad. And you are actually corroborating it. And yesterday, last week when I was listening to the interview, the question I was asking myself is, with this bad infrastructure, how do we expect our human resources in the facilities to function optimally?
They are doing their best, but if only someone would provide them with what they need, they could do phenomenally better.
Mm.
And it's heartbreaking, because this should be a priority. I mean, what else? If one in every 10 complaints has to do with kidney, then what else are we prioritizing? Yeah. Where else are we putting the money instead of here?
Okay.
I don't get it.
The Ghanaian Times newspaper has some interesting ones. The cutting waste key to economic recovery. That is the president, John Dramani Mahama, there. And then poor oral health linked to diabetes and hypertension. That is a medical doctor, Dr. Emmanuel Ba Abeka, or a dentist speaking. MOGCSP targets zero child marriage by 2030, advocates support for teenage mothers to return to school and serve with integrity and hard work, the vice president talking to civil servants.
If you go to the Custodian this morning, Asantiman Koka wins landslide, pledges inclusive leadership in Ashanti region NPP. Okoboy secures decisive victory in Greater Accra, and Baumia salutes new NPP regional executives, call for unity ahead of 2028. Galamsey is catastrophic under NDC. This is Arnaud Dompré speaking. And agricultural growth slows to 3.6% in May. And according to the government statistician, if this continues, food prices will go up, cost of living will go up, and people will be stressed.
Mm-hmm. After all the money you spend on agriculture.
Daily Graphic, Mahama unveils 5-year drugs production plan, targets 70% pharmaceutical import cuts. And DBG initiates financial support to oil palm sector. Corruption index stagnation worrying for development, that is Transparency International. Government not persecuting opponents. Oral cases watertight, that is Attorney General. If you go to the back page of the paper, Let us protect interfaith harmony. The chief imam speaking there after the IGP convened religious leaders for a meeting last Friday.
And if you go to the BNFT, Chinese vehicles gained ground as imports climbed to 22.1% market share. Kojo, will you still buy your Defender?
Yes.
More
for
stories.
Now, for now, yes.
Or you are going to China. More stories on the BNFT. Nearly half of SDI's insolvent. IMF pushes sector cleanup. And government targets illegal businesses around Gridco transmission lines. Gives 1 month ultimatum to evacuate. Gridco is on the front page, but 3 weeks ago there was a national blackout.
Yes, we've been demanding they say investigation.
Post the original statement on the blackout, we've not been told anything about progress properly. I think Gridco should do all of us a favor and do that. And boost productive sector lending. This is according to BOG. And MTN has rewarded the first winners in the MTN at 30 promo.
Okay, so let's go online now.
Yeah, the online review is brought to us by Zenith Bank, in your best interest.
And send money from your Zenith account to 27 African countries with PAPS. No stress, no delays. Dial *966#. Select Zenith Cash. Choose cross-border transfers and simply follow the prompts. You can also visit any Zenith Bank branch nationwide or enjoy the convenience of Zenith Internet Banking for your cross-border transfers. Whether you're paying suppliers, supporting loved ones, or settling bills across the continent, Zenith Bank makes it fast, secure, and seamless with PAPS, the Pan-African Payment and Settlement System. So start your cross-border PAPS transfers today with Zenith Bank and experience true convenience. Zenith Bank, in your best interest.
Let's go, myjoyonline.com. Petrol prices to drop today.
Oh, you're happy?
Diesel up in many a giraffe. Since Saturday, I've been checking MP floor price. Flop. And yesterday was
I use a diesel car.
Yesterday was when the new pricing window was supposed to start.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the new floor price, 13.92 is the for petrol.
Mm-hmm.
I've been checking the boards since yesterday up until today. The thing has not changed.
Don't change.
Please, we beg, pa. Star Oil, Goyle.
Oh, it will change today.
Let them sell at the floor price, 13.92. That's what we want.
I remember.
Charlie, it's possible. They've been doing. Mr. Tieku says they should even scrap it so that they can go down. So I beg, let's go to 12 or some 13.
You see, the scrapping so they can go down. Or it's not wholesale like that.
Well, wound to me out, Coca in how NPP's new Ashanti chairman differs from his predecessor, and Ghana to hold referendum and propose constitutional amendments in 2027. That's Mahama. And then some sad news, two people dead in a road crash at Asin Fosu, and Tano North chiefs petition Mahama over Galamsey destruction in River Tano. If you look at it, really milky water there. Okoboy will help NPP win more seats in the Greater Accra region.
If you go to citynewsroom.com, GTA shuts down Elmina Beach Resort, three others over regulatory breaches. CIDI long overdue for security refresh. This is Mahama. Our goal is to win the 2028 election, Baumia tells NPP regional executives. And the Gawa strike disrupts exams at UHAS, other public universities. And Ghana to hold referendum on proposed constitutional amendments in 2027. This is Mahama speaking again. And fire destroys at least 10 wooden structures at Tantra Hill. These are stories.
Okay, so let's get into
the details. Let me start with what is, for me, an exciting story. After weeks of hikes in fuel prices, it'll go on myjoyonline.com. This story by Joy Business says, petrol prices to drop today with diesel up in mixed pump price review. Petrol prices are expected to fall while diesel prices could rise from today, August 17, in a mixed review of petroleum prices at the pumps. Data from the Chamber of Oil Marketing Company show that petrol could fall by about 2.9%, bringing the indicative price to about 15.82 per liter. Diesel, however, is expected to rise by 1.39%, with the liter potentially selling at 17.7 Ghana cedis. Wow. The price of liquefied petroleum gas, LPG, is also expected to fall marginally by 0.9%, with the price per kilogram projected at about 16.21. This is a very wide, I mean, if you look at the business analysis, it says petrol could fall to about 15.8. But if you look
And diesel?
Diesel to go to about 17.7. But if you look at the MPA floor price, petrol is 13.92 and diesel is 15.11. So I beg, we want something around this one, so that because my yellow light is on, I'm just waiting for the thing to
go. This reminds me of somewhere 2001, 2003, in those days, you know, the government would announce fuel prices. Mm. And, you know, before the announcement, Charlie, what's that? You see, no fuel. No fuel. No fuel.
They're waiting.
In those days. Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
We need to do better with the fuel prices. It's just too much. Mm. It's just too much. It's disrupted a lot of people's spending. And so we need to do better.
I am of the school of thought that says, why what are we doing with the fuel price? I feel like the only beneficiaries are competitors.
Yeah, they said the small OMCs.
What small OMCs?
It will push them out of business. I mean, if a lot of these big OMCs with a lot of branches, they have the economy of scale, yes, to be able to go down considerably,
yes,
which will disrupt the small OMCs like Bernard, the JPs, and the likes. Okay. And so they want certain level of competitiveness so yes. that. OMCs are not forced.
This is fuel.
Yeah.
I think that we should have an industry where those who are able are performing.
Mm.
So that the bigger ones will then be able to open branches in the remote places as well, so that they can sell at the same prices,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, we are doing this to enable those who can't keep up to keep up. Why?
Then the problem is, I mean, some of these small OMCs or some OMCs may be forced to do a lot of quote unquote bad practices to be able to compete. So, for instance, diluting fuel and all of those things. So,
we have systems to check all these things. Yeah. So, what are we doing? Honestly, for me, let those who are able do it and do it at a price that we can afford. Then everyone benefits.
Yeah. I mean, because Kojo Kotobuati was talking a few weeks ago about Yemwadia and the imports, I mean, the president is talking about how in 5 years we can cut our pharmaceutical imports by 70%. That's on Daily Graphic front page. I hope we can do that, and it's not one of those announcements that we make and then we move on. It says the government is pursuing a 5-year strategic plan to strengthen the pharmaceutical manufacturing industry to enable the country produce a greater proportion of the medicines in the country. President Dramani Mahama said, according to him, the initiative is aimed at achieving self-sufficiency in the production of essential medicine while positioning Ghana as a hub for supply pharmaceutical products to neighboring countries. This is good.
Yeah, when you talk to the pharmacist, they'll tell you that the quality of the medication produced in Ghana is quite high.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite good and it's respected. I remember someone sent me to find out the cost of hemorrhoid cream. Mm. I didn't want to use my face, so I called them on the phone and used my phone alias. Do you have a phone alias?
No.
You guys don't have phone aliases. The name you use,
okay,
when you don't want them to know.
Could you? I'm sure you may have seen the video of the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams on gold in Ghana and how, you know, following the establishment of gold, but the people who hitherto were actually benefiting from illegal gold called him and said, oh, you need to do a thing to help us get gold. And he talks about the fact that we need to intercede on behalf of the nation. Okay. He's joined us on the phone this morning. So let's get onto the phone lines now and speak to Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams, General Overseer of the Action Chapel International. Good morning, and thank you very much for joining us, Papa.
My pleasure.
Okay, so I've seen the video, and you talk about how we need to intercede for Ghana. And, you know, the first thing that came to mind was, okay, what has the Archbishop seen that believes that it's a important to be interceding at this point?
Thank you again. A few years ago, I traveled and I was somewhere in the Middle East, one of these countries. I wouldn't want to mention the name. And I had the privilege to be hosted by some very powerful individuals for a dinner. While we were talking at dinner, this thing about Ghana gold came up, and the fact that a lot of gold had come into their country, in billions of dollars, and they had record of it, and they mentioned the ones that came illegally to their country. The illegal one was over 3-4 times the legal amount of money that they bought from Ghana Gold. And it bothered me. But I just left it alone because I didn't understand it, the details of what that whole thing meant. Then came in the gold bar. And since the gold bar came in to regularize and make sure that we have a responsible way of mining in the country, I've had so many calls from some of these people, very, very powerful people with deep pockets, asking if I can intervene and help them get the gold through the gold board. And they are willing to buy millions of dollars.
Mm.
And I tell them I can't help them. I don't understand how this thing works, so I don't want to get involved. Now, if you look at the way things are happening with the illegal gold mining in the country, the destruction of our water bodies and the poisoning of the land, eventually it will affect the land and affect food. So I've been asking the church that we should really intercede, because some of the things that concerns me is the fact that we have so many foreigners behind the illegal gold mine, and they use some of our own people to front it. And I don't believe our people understand and know the kinds of money that is being made from their sweat and labor and fronting for some of these foreign nationals.
Okay.
And something ought to be done. And I know also that a lot of them are not happy about the gold board, because it has come in to regulate and enforce the laws so that people do business in a responsible way.
Okay.
South Africa, Australia have been in gold mining business for many, many, many decades. And they don't have the challenges we are facing. They don't have their water bodies destroyed.
Sure, sure. And talking about... Okay, and talking about challenges and talking about we need to get to work, I mean, if we need to get to work, why should we be praying when we know that in dealing with illegal mining, Archbishop Duncan Williams, we should enforce laws and we should deal with those who are polluting the environment?
The aspect of the prayer is the fact that some of these people doing illegal mining are working with powers from the other side. So my job is not to police or enforce the law. That is not what I do. I am telling the people that we need to pray to deal with whatever is responsible for the lawlessness. And I was giving them example from the Bible perspective, how the enemy deceives people, works behind the scenes, and get people to self-destruct. Because what we are doing is self-destruction. And eventually, it will have serious implications on future generations.
Okay.
So, I am not saying that the law shouldn't be applied. I'm saying that we should pray for those who are enforcing the law to be empowered to do their job. Because it's a very risky job. As you know, that these people who are doing illegal gold mining are armed, and it's a whole cartel to itself. And it's not just that. They also double in fetishing and occult. They do all kinds of things. and they are not happy about the law being enforced and the right thing being done.
Okay.
Now, and also the fact that when you start enforcing the law, it becomes a political issue because when people don't appreciate and understand that being responsible and accountable in what they are doing is necessary and important, that becomes another matter.
Okay. Now, since you're a man of God, prayer is very important. But you talk about the fact that there are powerful people behind this. And we know, for instance, that Speaker of Parliament, Alban Sumana, Kingsford Bagbin, there was a time he actually advised members of Parliament to desist from some of these things. And what we said here was, why wouldn't he name and shame? So these powerful people that you talk about, do you know them? Have you spoken to them? At least we should be dealing with them. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I don't know about what you just mentioned, so thank you for bringing it up. But what I say specifically is, I know a lot of foreign nationals who are behind this illegal gold mine, and some of them have been arrested. I don't want to mention specific nationals, which you are aware of. So that is where I'm coming from. From that perspective, even if there have been some members of Parliament, truly speaking, I don't know if they understand the extent to which these foreign nationals are exploiting and making use of them to destroy our environment. But I think that you said the right thing. The Speaker of Parliament have called them to order. And I believe the right thing will be done.
And believing the right thing will be done, because you also say, foreign nationals and all that. Some of them have been arrested. But for those who have not been arrested, I'm sure the next question Ghanaians would expect me to ask you is, what are you doing, if you know them, to ensure that those who are destroying our environment that you are concerned about are arrested?
There are tricky questions to ask me, but I'll try to answer the best way I can. I've had calls from foreign nationals. Now, when I say I know them, it's not like they are my friends. I mean, they call me and say, oh, Archbishop, so give me your number. And we used to buy gold from time, and now we don't have access to it anymore since the gold board came into place. Is there a way you can help and intervene for us to contact the gold board and to buy gold? And for some of them, I've made one or two moves and told them, contact this person, ask this person. They will tell you the rules and how the gold board operates. You know, so what I'm saying here is, it's very clear that there are forces who are very intentional when it comes to manipulating the way we go about mining in Ghana. Now, I didn't also talk about the gold only. I spoke about the indiscipline and the order I saw when I was in Kigali, visiting the president of
Rwanda?
Rwanda, yes. And I was talking about how everybody is wearing a helmet, using the bikes, motorbikes. You see everybody wearing helmets and seat belts. And they don't do that here, even though the laws are here. They are not enforced. And it is a very touchy issue here, because we are not compliance-driven people. There's a lot of indiscipline in the whole atmosphere, in our upbringing. It's a very serious issue that if we are going to tackle this, it will take a lot of time and days because it touches everything.
Okay.
You know,
Archbishop Duncan Williams, now, before I get to what the church can do beyond prayers, because you talk about the fact that some of these people called you, I am going to find out from you, because I want to give you the opportunity also to, you know, because after this interview, people would ask this question, why were the businessmen calling Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams to, you know, work a thing or two for them? Why were they calling you? Just by way of clarification.
I cannot answer that. I cannot answer that for them. But I just tell them that, listen, I'm a man of God. I don't do gold business. I'm not into gold business. So contact the gold vault.
Okay.
And this is their number. You can call the secretary of the gold vault. They will tell you.
Okay. So beyond prayers, what can the church do?
Education.
Okay.
Education. We are educating them. That's why I'm bringing up these subjects. So I'm not just preaching the word. I'm just talking about the spiritual aspect of what is going on, because there's a whole lot of spiritual activities going on with this whole thing because of the powers that are involved in it. It's no joke. It's a very serious thing, and I'm telling them, let's pray for the members of the gold board, the chairman of the board, the CEOs, and our military, national security, our police for protection. Because some of the arrests and things that were done, I have had people calling me to pray. Some people were shot. And it was face-to-face confrontation. And some of them have armed that our national security, police, and military don't have. This is not a joke. This is a very serious thing going on. But I don't want to go into all that because there are things I'm told that I can't bring it out publicly. But I feel I have a responsibility to educate the church so that we don't politicize everything and realize that nobody, from my perspective, is telling people you cannot mine, but do it in a responsible way. Be accountable and have the environment in mind.
Okay.
And not just be driven by making money, but also be concerned about the environment where you live in. That after having all this money, if you can't drink the water, you can't bath the water, and the land that produces our food is poison, destroying. You are putting mercury in people's body.
Hmm.
So I feel strongly that one of the responsibilities we have as a church is to educate the people, because the people who come to church are the citizens. They work, they do everything in the country. They run the country. So if we can educate them, create the awareness, and help them to appreciate and understand that nobody is telling you don't do this, but do it the right way. And while you are doing it the right way, have the environment in mind.
Okay. Archbishop Duncan Williams, before you go, a lot of people have asked me that I get you to pray for us. But before you pray also, I'm told you have Impact 2026 later on in the year. What should we expect?
The theme of Impact 2026 is changing the narrative. And it's all about these discussions, because we can't keep doing things the same old way. And Einstein said, if you keep doing the same thing the same way over and over and over again, it's insanity. So we want to let people know that we can't keep doing things the same way. We have to make changes. We must change the narrative. Ghana deserves better. Next year will be 70.
Yes.
And in the 60s and 70s, Ghana was more developed than China, than Singapore, Malaysia, South Korea. But today, they've all gone ahead of us. Now, if you look at what has been done in Rwanda, it's very clear that the black man is not cursed, and that it's possible to make some of these changes and bring progress and development. But that something seems to be holding us back. And a lot has to do with our mindset and the way we go about things. And we need to develop love for country, commitment for country, to commitment towards country, and make sure that we do something for the future generations, making a difference. Like somebody asked me, what is your legacy? And I said to me, I believe that true legacy is the difference you made in the life of others, which is what I've been attempting to do for the last 50 years of my life in ministry, making a difference in the life of others.
All right. Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams, finally, a prayer for all of us.
Heavenly Father, thank you for our country. Thank you for all that are in authority. Thank you for giving us opportunity to come into this world and into this land, into this nation, as Ghanaians. I pray that we will not take for granted the reason for our being, and that we will not damage through ignorance the very thing that keeps us alive. Help us to be accountable, responsible, doing things the right way, doing right by Ghana, by Mother Ghana, and not destroy the chances, the security of future generations. And now, by divine authority, I command every embargo on the progress of our nation to be lifted. Let the limits be broken of our way of thinking, our psyche, our mentality, our attitude towards one another. Help us to have love for one another, love for country, and love even for future generations, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, that we will make Ghana a better place for generations that are yet to come. And now, Father, above all, I pray that you will help those in authority to create an environment that is conducive to do business by citizens, to do well, to try, to flourish, to prosper. That in our lifetime, no son and daughter of Ghana will kill any foreign embassy for a visa seeking for greener pastures. Let that be changed in our lifetime. That nobody has to travel out of this country to succeed. That you can be born and be educated and live in this country, succeed, and live the better life and not seek it elsewhere. May we see those days come, O God, in our lifetime. May we improve the environment to be better than we met it when we were born. In Jesus' name, bless the men and women of our media and all that in authority, our armed forces. Keep them from harm's way. National security, the police, the navies, the border patrols. Keep them from harm's way. Protect them. Arm them. Give them the upper hand over evil forces. Protect our borders, our high seas, our water bodies. Heal the land and our airspace. Let there be no disasters. Let there be no evil occurrence. Let the land rest from blood and from adversity. And we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very, very much, Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams, for joining us this morning, and he's General Overseer of Action Chapel International.